I hope you guys liked the doing the Lord's Supper a little bit different today. I think that was pretty meaningful to be able to do that together as families. And the other day, my daughter Hannah sitting over there, sorry, I didn't tell her I was going to say this, but she was like, "Dad, is there any way that we can make that bread taste better?" And I'm not sure if we can. But it reminded me the other day I was going to my pantry and I was looking for a bagel to eat, and I grabbed a bag of bagels. And this has nothing to do with you, babe, Holly, my wife over there. But the bag of bagels like expired in February and it still looked good. You know, like the bagels look good. And I'm like, I think it'd be fine. Do bagels ever go bad? I mean, I've never seen a bagel go bad in a long time. It's weird to look at food today, especially bread today. Like it seems like there's so many preservatives in it. I don't know what's in bread today, but it seems like it never goes bad. I remember back in the day when it would, bread would last for a week. And if you didn't eat it during that week, you just had to throw it out. Now you can just go pretty much forever. And it reminded me of the Old Testament where God's people, they were starving in the wilderness, and the Lord gave them manna from heaven. Every single day they got this sweet bread that just that fell down in little pieces, and they got to eat it as much as they wanted for that day. But here's the thing about that bread: it would mold in one day. And so the people, that was the one rule, is do not eat it after one day. Don't store it up. Instead, you just get what you need for that day. You see, God wasn't just feeding them. That's not the purpose of the manna. He was trying to form them into a people who would trust in him and go to him every single day in a fresh new way. And at times, I think we try to live spiritually off of yesterday's manna, you know? When God showed up in a powerful way, and we've just been relying on that for a long time. I remember when Holly and I, we were newlyweds, we got married in college, and guys, we were just flat out poor. Like, we were just broke. And we were so broke that we were on food stamps. And I remember going to like the grocery store and the WIC, you know, like WIC approved stuff. I mean, once you've been on food stamps, you can never go to the grocery store the same. Every time you show up, you're like, "Oh, I know, you can get that. And so that's how we were living. And we were just praying, "God, you're going to have to provide for us." We were just poor college students. And I remember one time we were at going to this one church, and we had not told anybody about it, and this pastor just walked up to us and said, "Hey, someone gave me this envelope and wanted me to give it to you guys." And so we didn't know many people at that church. It was a big, massive church, and they just handed us an envelope full of money, and we were just blown away. Just absolutely blown away that God, in the middle of our desperate need, he showed up in a powerful way. And I think a lot of us have stories like that where God has provided and shown up. But here's the thing: God doesn't stop providing for us. He continually provides for us over and over again because he didn't design us to live off of leftovers of what he did in the past, but instead we're to seek him every single day. And it reminds me of a guy in the Old Testament, the man David, who became king of Israel. And we're going to look at a story today of his life. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5. And as you're doing that, we're going to do something, an activity that Pastor Clayton likes to do a lot, which is go on Google Maps and look at maps. I don't know if anybody ever does that. I just like to look at stuff online like that. But I'm going to show you a map of what it looked like back then. And so he'd give you a little background of what was going on during that time. So Saul was the first king, and he went way bad, okay? David gets anointed as the next king, but there's this transition time where Saul is still king, and David runs for his life. And many years later, Saul dies and David becomes king. But he's living down in Hebron right here. And so he's living down here. Jerusalem is not the capital yet. In fact, the Jebusites still control Jerusalem. David with his men, they come up to Jerusalem and they conquer Jerusalem. And you would think that the story would be over, but there are so many people that were fighting for territory back then. And one of the biggest groups was the Philistines. Now, the Philistines, They live down in here in the valley, in the lowlands next to the water. And I mean, these guys were fierce and mighty, and they controlled most of the area. And when they found out that David had become king, they were like, not on our watch. And so they travel all the way to the outskirts of Jerusalem to attack the Israelites and David. And so that's what's going on. That's where we find ourselves in the story in 2 Samuel chapter 5. So here we go. It says in verse 19, it says, then David, once he found out that the Philistines were showing up, it says that David, he inquired of the Lord. And here's what he asked God. He said, God, should I attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? And then the Lord replied to David, yes, attack, for I will certainly hand the Philistines over to you. So what he was doing is he was going to God and saying, God, what should I do? Now, God had been with David over and over again. If you read the other stories, God had provided in miraculous ways. We'd already had David and Goliath. We had already had so many other stories of God providing over and over again. But David went back to the Lord and said, God, what should I do? And it teaches us a really important principle today that if you want to walk in the will of God, if you want to know God's will for your life, you have to keep seeking the face of God. Not just relying off of yesterday's leftovers, yesterday's manna, but going to God over and over again. Not once, not occasionally, but continually. What we need right now as a church, and I would say maybe as individuals, but also as a church, is to seek the face of God. And not just his hand. The problem is, a lot of times, that's what we tend to do, is we seek the hands of God. We're like little kids at the store, and we say, God, give me that, give me that. God, give me what I want. Instead of saying, God, I want you. God, if you bless me, that's great, but God, I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know your heart. I want to know your will for my life. That's what we ought to be doing. And that's what David was doing. David was seeking the will of God by seeking the face of God. And so David asked God, what should I do? And God answered. And so David, he obeys. Look what happens in verse 20. It says, so David went to Baal Perazim, and he defeated them there, defeated the Philistines there. And here's what he said about that battle. He said, like a bursting flood, the Lord has burst out against my enemies before me. And so therefore, the Bible says he named that place, the Lord bursts out. I think it's so crazy how in the Old Testament, they just like name places all the time when something amazing happened. They're like, I'm just going to rename that. And so that's what he does. He names it, the Lord bursts out. Well, what he's actually naming it is this right here, Baal Perazim. Okay, that's what that means. And so I was thinking about this. God had this incredible ability to do something that only he could do, and he blew them away. What about in your life? Has God ever done something you're going, I have no idea how he did it. I mean, everybody has that story of God doing something incredible in your life, blowing you away when you're in desperate need, when you're going to him in prayer, and he showed up in his way, in his timing, and it was good for you. I think about as a church, as we've been talking about this capital campaign and funding all of this new stuff, this new season of our church, Made for More, which has been our first capital campaign, I would say that is our Baal Perazim, okay? Where the Lord just blew us away. We had this goal of raising a certain amount of money, and y'all know God blessed us in such an incredible way that y'all have given three times that goal, okay? That's crazy. I mean, what we thought was going to happen back then, God was like, just wait, I'm going to show you something incredible. It was our Baal Perazim of the Lord bursting out and doing something incredible. But let me just say this. He's not done yet. And just like in our lives, he's not done with David's story. In fact, we got to find the real point of today's message by continuing in this story. Look what happens in the next couple of verses. It says that the Philistines didn't stop, okay? The Philistines, they came up again and spread out in the Rephaim Valley, that valley in the north. And so what did David do again? He goes and inquires of the Lord all over again. The same enemy, the same valley. But David doesn't just go and say, well, I've been here before. I don't need God. I can handle it this time. And I think that's one of our issues and one of our problems is that sometimes when God provides for us in amazing ways, he does something amazing in our lives, we kind of forget about that. And when we find ourselves again in another situation, we fail to go back to him. But see, David didn't do that. He didn't say, I've got this. Instead, he went back to God. And I think it was because David knew the character of God and what he was supposed to do in his relationship with God. In fact, I think he was kind of foreshadowing what Philippians chapter 4 says when it says to don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and thanksgiving, with petition, present your request to God. Don't stop all the time. In every situation, present your request to God. Not trusting on your own strength. Not trusting, well, I did this in the past, so everything's going to be fine. But instead, humbly seeking God's face. Like getting that fresh manna every single day. Jesus taught us to pray that way. He said, ask God for your daily bread. Over and over again, every single day, coming to the Lord and asking for his provision and for his will to be done in your life. All of us have fought battles like David. Maybe not necessarily with swords, but with spiritual swords, right? We've fought battles. We've seen victory when we've gone to the Lord and asked him to provide for us. But the reality is that in our lives, the enemy continues to come back again and again. It's a different day, the same struggle. And we know that the enemy isn't going to quit until Jesus returns someday. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, as Ephesians 6 says, but instead we wrestle against spiritual evil. And just because you defeated the Philistines once or twice or three times, it doesn't mean that the Philistines aren't going to come back 45 more times, right? We know that as we struggle through sin and temptation and issues in our own lives and provisions that we need for God to show up. So what are we supposed to do? The Bible says we're supposed to go to God again and again, to keep seeking him. And the reason is because God just might show you a different way to fight your battle. Let me prove it to you. Here's what happens as the story continues. So he goes and asks God again. And God answers him. He says, look, don't attack directly. I've got a different plan for you. Don't attack directly this time, but instead circle around behind them and come at them opposite the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, meaning the trees would sway, saying God's presence is now moving in front of you. Here's what he says. He says, act decisively. Why? For then the Lord will have gone out ahead of you to strike down the army of the Philistines. God says, here's what I want you to do. Don't attack directly. Instead, I want you to circle around. I want you to wait. And then when I move, you move. Same enemy, different strategy. And what God was doing is he was giving fresh marching orders to David and the Israelites. And what he was saying is just, you know, thinking about military terminology, he's saying flank the enemy, okay? I want you to go around the side and attack them and catch them off guard. And he was giving them a new way to find victory. And so here's what happens. Verse 25, it says, so David, he did exactly as the Lord commanded him. And he struck down the Philistines all the way from Geba to Gezer. Meaning, okay, where is that? Well, on that map, David didn't stop. He just continued to pursue them and kick them out of the area. Look, the Philistines, they didn't know what hit them. And the reason is because David was wise enough to seek the Lord over and over again. Here's the question. Are we? Are you? Or are we just living off of yesterday's manna? Yes, God is faithful to provide, but he also wants us to continue to go to him and to trust him over and over again every single day. I love reading these Old Testament stories. They're good, like battle stories. These are good victory stories. But every single one of these stories, what they actually do in the Old Testament, what they do is they point to the greater victory, the greatest victory story. You see, David, he's a king, but he's not the ultimate king. Jesus is the ultimate king, right? Jesus is the ultimate king. And when Jesus faced our enemy for us, the devil didn't know what hit him. You know? Another way to put this, I've heard this before, is that Jesus juked out the devil. Okay, the devil had great plans to ruin everything that God was setting up with Jesus coming to this earth. He was going to influence people so that Jesus was hung up on a cross and killed and still in the grave today. Look, the cross looked like defeat. And the grave looked like the final nail in the coffin of Jesus. But God turned it around and gave us the greatest victory the world has ever seen. When Satan thought he had won, Jesus walked out of the tomb, didn't he? And he proved something. He proved that he is the living God. And because he is the living God, his death on the cross can pay for your sins. And his resurrection can change your life. And what you have to do to receive that is just be perfect. No, it's you have to believe, right? All you have to do is believe. You turn from your sins saying, I believe in you, so I'm going to live differently. I believe in you. Please, God, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. The Bible says that is a gift. Not because of what you've done, but everything because of what God has done for you. All you got to do is believe. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning. But every single time we open up God's word, whether we're in the Old Testament or whatever, it's all pointing to Jesus, who gets the ultimate victory in our lives. And look, if Jesus is alive, and he is, we must rely on him. We must trust in him. Because he's alive, we must seek him over and over again. We can't just rely on past success. We can't just rely on past generosity, even though we thank God for it. Just hoping that things will happen again and again and not going to the Lord in a fresh way is dangerous. And I would also say it's disobedient. The reason is because we stop relying on God and we start relying on ourselves. That's so easy to do. God, I got this. Thank you for providing for me last time. I can take it from here. That's not the relationship God wants to have with us. He wants us to continue over and over to seek him. Another way to think about this is, in military terms, is to say that we must attack with fresh faith. Maybe it's a sin that you're struggling with. It's a temptation that you can't overcome. It's something that's you're worried about, and there's anxiety in your life, and you're going to the Lord and you're praying. We need to come at those things in a fresh way. And as a church, when it comes to us moving forward together, we must attack, not based off of what happened in the past, but off of having a fresh kind of faith. What's going to happen is, I truly believe, is we're going to see an incredible new victory. And that victory is a little bit different than last time. The victory this time is freedom. We're Americans. We love freedom, right? And as a church, we are praying and seeking freedom from debt. We're seeking freedom to be able to move when God calls us to move. We're seeking freedom to reach more people who haven't heard the gospel, people who aren't here yet. So what do we need to do? What we need to do is we need to be like David. We need to seek God. We need to trust God, and we need to obey God. And what we're going to do, this may sound kind of silly, but we're just going to attack debt from its blind side, okay? It's not going to know what hit it. And you and I, as a church, we are going to, I believe, live in freedom. But here's something I also know. It's going to take every single one of us, all of us, because we're one church. If you call this place your church home, you are a part of the family of God. And it's not just based off of a few doing all the work, but it's based off of everybody. We are different parts of the body, but we all work together, as the Bible says. I always think about Mark chapter 12, when Jesus goes to the temple and they see all these rich people giving, all these religious people, and everybody's like, man, I wish I could be like them. And they give all this money to the temple, and then all of a sudden, this little old lady, she's probably hunched over, I don't know, but she's little lady, and she shows up, reminds me of I always think of my grandmother when I see that in my mind, and she had nothing. And the Bible says that she gave from what she had, not from what she didn't have. And Jesus pointed her out and said, she's got it. She's figured it out. And she is blessed above everybody else. You see, it's not about equal giving, because we're all blessed in different ways, but it's about equal sacrifice. Together as a church, coming together and giving from what God has blessed us with. We just sang that song, His oil never runs out. Isn't that true? When has God not shown up in His timing and His way in your life? He is faithful. God is he's the master strategist. I love that about Him. And He has an incredible plan for your life, for your family, and for this family, this church. And you're a part of that. You're a part of that plan. The question is, will we each seek the Lord as to how we can be a part of that together, unified together? And so here's what I want to encourage you to do. If you're a guest with us, I'm just so glad you're here with us. But if you are a part of this church, I want to invite you, as Mindy talked about in the video earlier, to take those cards that are in the front, in the seat back in front of you. If you're up in the risers, they're all along the railing right there as you leave. Take those cards with you. As a family, I want to ask you to pray this week about, God, how can we be a part of what you're doing here at Central? We believe God has a great plan for our church. And I am so excited about all the people who are going to get to hear the gospel and become part of God's family here because of our efforts being the hands and feet of God. So I want to ask you to go and pray. And then next week, we're going to have a special time right in here in the worship service where we get to pledge a faith to finish 3-year commitment as families. We're going to come and we're going to be able to lay those things here on the platform as not as show, but as a moment of worship. And there's many ways we can worship God. We can sing His praises. We can take the Lord's Supper together. But we can also sacrifice together in obedience and with joy, because we get to be His hands and feet. What a blessing that is. God has a plan for you. He wants you to seek Him over and over again. And He is faithful to provide. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the chance to just look into your word just a little bit this morning. Thank you for David's story of continuing to go to you and to pray and to seek your face, not your hands, not just your provision, but to know your heart, to know your will. We pray the same thing for our church. We pray, God, that with this capital campaign that you would blow us away, that you provide through your people in an incredible, only God can do kind of way. So God, that we can live in freedom. We can move forward as a church. We can finish what we started. And we can be the church you called us to be, where Jesus changes everything in our lives and the lives of other people. So God, go in front of us. When you move, help us to be obedient to move. We trust you in that. I pray, God, that this message also speaks to us spiritually in our own personal lives, that maybe we're just living off of a close time we had with you a long time ago. But God, you don't want us to live that way. You want us to go to you every single day and trust you anew every day to provide for us, to go in front of us. So God, we want to know your will in our own lives. We want to seek your face again in a fresh way. Maybe today that means this week opening up the word, reading through the gospels, reading through the psalms, and renewing that relationship again. God, speak to us. I pray for anyone who's never trusted in Christ that today might be the day that they would say, finally, I'm tired of trying to earn my way to you, God, and I accept your free gift of salvation, Jesus, paying for my sins by dying on the cross, but then rising from the grave, showing that he is the living God whom I can love and serve and live for. May they repent of their sins and turn to you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I invite you to stand for